Mr. President, I have Mrs. Conley.
Yeah.
President.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to call to see how John was. Has he got a little touch of flu?
Well, I don't know whether he had a little touch of flu or just a little upset stomach, but he's just been...
Been miserable.
Yeah.
Did it hit you, too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gosh.
It's a good thing we weren't with you last night, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We hated to miss your dinner party.
Oh, well, that's we didn't care about that.
We did.
You'd had a lot of fun, but I heard it yesterday at noon when we had this firing in, but it's probably not only that damn flu that's going around. You know, Ryland was telling me that, and Takasha, that's really an epidemic proportions. So it hits in various places. Well, gosh, I'm so sorry to hear it.
Well, you're
sorry. What are you doing? You're just staying close to home then?
Uh-huh, and we just stayed in the bed.
That's good.
John's right here and awake.
Yeah, I'll talk to him too. Yeah, I hope I didn't wake you up.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You're very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Well, they felled you, huh? They...
No.
Just a little...
I don't know what the heck it is.
Yeah,
First it was...
You've got a...
Upset stomach. I was up all night, nightfall last.
Then that was after your Richmond...
It was the second night after that.
And
then yesterday, I got a headache, started aching all over.
That's it.
And I was afraid maybe...
Takasha, it must be. Is anybody taking a look, or you don't?
You usually try to wear it out. Hell, I've had them looking, Mr. President, for years.
They don't help.
I never have found one that did any good.
That thing is that have exactly the same idea. You just sort of wear it out, but there is an epidemic, you know, the damn stuff going around.
Well, I didn't know it till I got yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
Got feeling bad, talking to the girls in the office, and they told me.
I talked to Ryland about it on Wednesday, and he said it's in New York. It's just about one out of three. And at this dinner last night we had for the Wallaces, everybody wants to come to the White House. 12 out of 100 canceled the day before.
You know me.
I mean, these are people that are his intimate friends, you know. They didn't cancel. We knew they'd been planning. They'd bought their dresses, their gowns, and they told their friends. They all had the flu.
This is from New York.
So I just hate to hear it. But anyway, you're doing well, John, with the market. What the hell's happened to that damn thing? Did you see what's happened to it yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's strong, Mr. President.
Keith Funston came through the line, the former head of it. Not Keith Funston, he did, but Don Regan, the big firm. And I said, Don, it's a good thing I got you here in Washington. The market went up. And he says, look, you tell John Conley, and I'm going to tell you, he says, don't you worry about the market. He says, that market's strong. I said, what about this dip it had? He said, that's the way the market is.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that he was very, very strong, he said.
I think the market's strong.
Yeah, but 25 million shares, which, of course, that seems to be very significant to those fellows because they think folks are getting into the market again, maybe.
Well, I think they must be.
But the main thing we have to figure is this. Don't worry about it, you know. It's this worrying about up and down that I think is foolish.
That's what's killing everybody around here all the time. We wait every hour.
That's right. And we say...
The market goes up or down.
Also, not only the market, but everything else we worry about. Well, what was the CPI this week?
Right.
And how much was on its insured unemployment? And
that's right.
Were retail sales up or down and so forth? And you remember old Churchill talking about popularity. He says, if I ever made my decisions based on... By taking my temperature with a Gallup poll every week, he says, I couldn't be prime minister. Well, he's right. I mean, you just can't do that.
Right.
Well, I'm just sorry to hear it, and damn, sitting up here.
We missed your
when you'd like to be down there and down home, but
it's one of those things. Hey, I don't feel too bad this morning.
You sound bad. I can tell. You've got some stuff.
I'm stopped up, but other than that.
That's right. It'll pass, and you'll feel miserable and think you're going to die, but nobody ever died of the damn stuff. I'm going to meet Malvina Whitman today. We got this woman who was on the council's staff and is on the price commission that's Stein. I think it's a great idea. They say she's pretty, too.
Is she?
Yeah. So I said, that sold me when Stein told me that. I said, all right, we'll put her on the council.
Well, that's great. Has she checked out pretty well?
Very well. Well, the thing that I had not known, well, first, they, the Stein was high on her because she's been on the staff, had been on the staff as a senior economist for a year, and had been so good they pointed her to the Price Commission.
Mm-hmm.
She's the wife of a Pittsburgh professor. But the other thing that checked out is that I learned for the first time that she is the daughter of Dr. Paul von Neumann, who was the great nuclear physicist and was a member of the Atomic Energy Commission, and of course a major author on economics, mathematics, one of the great geniuses. And they say that she is just as smart as he is. And I remember when he used to brief us during the Eisenhower administration, he is one of the most impressive men in the world. So, you know what I mean? Not that you always take people on the basis of who their fathers was, but this fellow, I just know, you know, this woman, she isn't just a woman. She's supposed to be one of the really able women of in this business. Stein said an interesting thing, though. He said, I said, well, what about this? He said, well, I says, I got to be very honest with you. I says, once you get Malvina Whitman, he said, she'd be number one among all the women you know in this field. And then you have to go down 100 before you get another one that would even rank number two.
Mm-hmm.
So she's apparently, just outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
well, that's great.
I'm glad.
I don't know her. We've talked.
Neither have I.
That's wonderful.
I'm a little old fashioned. I'm not for a woman's sake, but if this woman has got it, I will. And of course Stein, his crowd, they'll run it. But I'll bet she does a good job.
Well, but it's a perfect place. It's three people
with the strong man running it.
Well, that's right, and with no operating responsibilities.
That's right.
So I would
that's
think
right.
it'd be a great spot for her, all things considered.
Well, I won't. I'll keep you keeping the phone, and I'll. If you got another minute, we pick up the paper you're reading. You missed one of the most interesting things. We had the Ray Conniff Singers, and before they came out on the stage, girl with the hair down to her waist. They're about 16 singers. And they're all pretty girls and nice-looking guys and so forth. The Conniff Singers are kind of square types of it. She stepped out in front of them, I mean, to the shock of everybody, and hung out a homemade sign on cloth saying, "Stop the killing." And she says, "Mr. President, stop the killing. If you believe in Jesus Christ, stop the killing of men and animals and children and Vietnam." She said, "God bless Daniel Ellsberg. God bless the Berrigan brothers." And then step back. Well, you can't imagine the shock. You remember the Eartha Kitt thing?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You read it in the Post this morning, and even there, and the audience. Well, then what happened is, poor Ray Conniff came out and they had their first number, and there was icy coldness. Nobody in that crowd. I clapped, of course, but very few. And Conniff says, "I just want you to know that I didn't plan that first act." And he says, "Most of us are proud to be here at the White House," and so forth. And then somebody in the crowd, I think it was old Jack Mulcahy, says, "Well, then act like it." Somebody else back in the room, to my utter amazement, said, "Throw the bum out. Throw her out." And then several people said, "Throw her out." So Conniff, on his own, asked her to leave, and she left.
You don't mean it.
This happened at the White House last night. Now, you tell Nellie what you missed.
That's the damnedest thing.
But can you imagine, I asked Manola, about it. I always get, he's my man to check. I said, "Manola, what do you think?" He said, "I heard it about in the 7 o'clock news." Now, this you can pass to Nellie, but clean it up a little. The Spanish have wonderful profanity. And she says she's an hija de puta. I know what that means. That means a daughter of a whore.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "No, she's worse. She says, muchisima puta. She says, a great big whore." and he said, "She acted like a streetwalker." Isn't that interesting?
Really,
but I don't know what the heck they're coming to. But
that's the damnedest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah.
Nellie just threw the paper down. He said, "Tell the president it's a good thing I wasn't there." Said I would have personally taken her on. Said it would have been.
I'm telling you, several of them were ready. But, and so I just sat and smiled. And oh, I did one thing at the end I think you appreciate. I didn't pay a bit of attention. Of course, I couldn't. And at the end, though, I walked up and thanked Ray Conniff. And then I turned to the other girls and I said, we were so enjoyed your music. And you, it's always nice to have our music look so pretty, you know, because they were pretty girls. And then I turned to the audience and I said, we hope that Ray Conniff will have as great success in the next 50 as their years as the Swedish Digest has in the last 50 years. And then it says, in thanking him and his very fine orchestral group, I know too that because the Marine Orchestra had played the accompaniment, that all of us would want to express our appreciation and our thanks to the fine Marines who have played accompaniment, most of whom have fought for America in Vietnam. Boy, the place came apart.
Oh, wow.
So I had a little confrontation, John. But what do you think? Of course, I was worried, John, about Conniff ordering her out, and I almost got up. I told Pat later, I almost got up to think maybe I better stop him. But I was afraid if I tried to stop her I didn't know the whole group. I thought maybe the whole damn group was going to walk out. But they didn't. All of the rest of them were in tears, and they were apologetic because she's not a regular member of the group. They were one short, and he brought her in.
Well, I'll be damned. No, I think that's all you could do.
You wouldn't have stopped her from being thrown out.
No.
See, Conniff threw her out. We didn't. But he invited her to leave.
Well, that's fine.
But they
I think that's fine, because if you hadn't, I think the whole thing would have really fallen apart.
Oh, audience
would have been icy throughout the performance. They wouldn't have applauded for anything.
Oh, it was awful, that first number. Awful.
And,
Anyway.
I must say, I'm astounded.
Now you give Nellie a little, tell her about Manolo's swear words. That'll cheer her up. Okay?
All right, sir.
Okay. Well, get well.
Are you going to go up to Camp David?
Well, I'm going to stay here today till about noon. And,
Billy's in town, isn't he?
He is. He was here tonight. Oh, he was there. By golly, yes. And Billy and Ruth both.
All he responded.
Yeah. And I wish you would, because he's here, and there was quite a gang. Bob Hope was there, and he spoke. And we really had a gang. Billy spoke, Norman Peele did, and it was a good old time religion.
Well, I'm sure sorry we missed.
Well, anyway, you just take care.
Right,
take
sir.
Care now. You and Nellie, and tell her, you know, we're all ready for that big party in Texas. Incidentally, on that, we do not have to worry about the date of the Latin thing, because Rogers, in checking with those fellows, found that they would prefer to come to Washington.
So that
leaves us completely open. And so what I would like for you all to do is to pick the date that fits your weather the best.
All right, that's great.
And if it's, Nellie was saying May 1st, but if April 15th or May 15th is better, we can do it any time.
No, if we push it, it'll be toward the 1st of June.
That's, in other words, it gets better later in the year. Well, that'd be better for us, actually, because as we get, then we're a little closer to Moscow, you know, and everybody will be getting up, you know, it'll be nice to talk to the folks a little about the trip and so forth. So you'd rather have it the latter part of May rather than the...
Good.
All right, we'll hold it. Bye.
Thank you.